Since the last time I've been here, there are many changes in the material world. That was the end of September. It was still almost summer. Now it's almost winter and snowing and ice. That's one kind of change. And there are many changes always going on. Yeah. In fact, the whole material world is changing. Time is going by. And there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that describes every morning the sun rises, and throughout the course of the day, then the sun sets. And in that time, although many things seem to have been accomplished, they're all things that will be destroyed by time. So actually nothing gets accomplished. Someone says, well, I made $500 today. But that will be vanquished. I got this post today. I met this girl today. I met this boy today. I'm going to do this today. All these things that we do, they're destroyed by time. Whatever progress we're trying to make. So everything else that seems to be going on is illusion. Sometimes the illusions are very flimsy and you can see that they'll pass. But sometimes they're very permanent looking, but they're also flimsy. One time there was no city here. So now everyone thinks that this city has always been here. But this time will come when the city will not be here. Because time destroys everything. So this verse says that between the rising and setting of the sun, all activities are destroyed or are illusion. In fact, the only thing that actually happens to a man is that he can check off one day of his life. Now he has one day less before death. That happened, that now he lost another day. The other activities, they're not of any consequence. And this is true for everyone, except for the devotees who are engaged in eternal devotional service. For them, the passing of the day is the passing of the time. Is not leading up to their being vanquished, but it's leading to their going back to Godhead. So we're performing this eternal service in the material world. The material world is changing and decaying, but our service, whatever we do each day, that's accumulating permanently. It's like yesterday in New York, a lot of snow accumulated, now it's all gone. But devotional service, whatever you do, is never gone. And even our very bodies are disintegrating. Dehi no sminyata dehi ko maram yovanam jira tata dehantra praptir diras tata namuyate. The change is going on from old age, from birth to youth to old age. There are actually six changes. Birth, growth, the giving off of byproducts, lasting a certain life duration, then starting to dwindle and then die. Wherever you see a living being, from a tree to a human being, those six changes are going on. And the soul is in that body. And then when the changes are complete, the soul remains permanent and takes another body according to the desires. We don't belong to this material world. Once we come and make our link to Krishna consciousness, once we are linked to Krishna in the disciplic succession through the spiritual master, then all our activities are counted in that way. Of course, any devotional service one does is accumulative. Even a person who saw the Ratha Yatra gets benefit. But then the tendency is just some chance occurrence by the mercy of the devotees that he saw the Jagannath, but then he's immediately back into sense gratification. He has no program to accumulate with some progress his devotional service so that he can go back to Godhead in this life. So when one is initiated by the spiritual master, his service then accumulates most effectively. In fact, if he follows his instructions, then he will go back to Godhead in that life by following the instructions, refraining from sinful life and chanting Hare Krishna. His accumulation will be very swift. Otherwise, put a little money in the bank and then take it all out. What is the value? But once you are serving 10% in the association of devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, then you will not fall down. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati jayatan brahmabhuyaya kopate. One who does not fall down, who is at any time, who is fully engaged in devotional service, he immediately rises above the modes of nature and attains to the level of spirit, soul, Brahman, in relation to Krishna. As soon as he begins devotional service, he is above the modes, above the decay of time. This is the nature of these activities. The temple is for everyone to have a chance to do that activity, to take the darshan of the Lord. There's a verse describing the nectar of devotion, that the benefit gained by making obeisances to the deity of Krishna cannot be compared even to the benefit that is received by performing many, many costly sacrifices, ritualistic sacrifices. Because by those sacrifices means generally to the demigods for some material benefit, not done in pure bhakti. So the benefit is, for one thing, questionable, whether it's done right, whether the Brahmins chanted the mantras right, whether the demigod is pleased, whether I get awarded the result. And even if I am rewarded the result, it's not eternal. So, but if you bow once to the deity, which is bhakti, relation to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the value is so great. What to speak of those who are full-time engaged in the service of the Lord? Krishna won't forget them. Kontiya pati janihi name bhakta pranishati. Our enlisting in devotional service like this, associating with the Lord through the holy name, through the deity. This is the Vaishnav parampara. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, brought the whole thing to this country. Although when he came to this Boston in 1965, he appeared to have practically nothing. But he brought with him so much weight, and revealed it bit by bit. And now we have a whole Krishna conscious society. And more is being revealed to us still, how to spread this Krishna consciousness, how to establish it. So understand that the engagements are eternal, they're never vanquished. And this connection that you've been given by the mercy of the Lord is the most valuable thing. Superficially speaking, we're right on the street. Not on the street, but the building is, you can get on the street in a minute. The mayic temporary activities are going by, and the eternal activities are going on here. And then we go out also to spread this eternal science of Krishna consciousness. But you should never confuse the two and think, well, I'm living in here with these people, but I think now I'll go live with those people. These are people, they eat They have some lifestyle, some philosophy. There are people out there also. Maybe I'll change. But this is eternal. That is doomed. It is not only temporary, but the activities are sinful. Nunam pramitakuru te vikarma yarindriya pritya apranoti nasarumanye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshada ashateha. People don't know that their activities are making them take more and more births because their sinful, their activities are pramita, crazy. Vikarma, they're forbidden. Nunam pramita kuru te vikarma. Why? Yarindriya pritya. They're done out of uncontrolled senses, not following the codes of God. Nasarumanye. I don't think it's very wise, therefore, that people engage in activities which will make them take another body. The soul doesn't have to take another material body, but as long as he engages in crazy activities, sinful activities, then he must. On this theme of the material world being always destroyed and all activities being destroyed, Krishna also said this when he appeared before Arjuna in the universal form. The Arjuna saw that Krishna is destroying everything. He said, "Who are you? Oh, fearful form, what is your mission?" And the Lord said in the universal form, "Time I am, Kalosmi. I have come to devour everyone and everything." This is the Lord as time. The devouring temporary factor of the material world is also an aspect of Krishna. Maya is also an aspect of Krishna. But when we see that aspect of Krishna, it should be instructive to us that Krishna is reminding us everything is going to be destroyed if you work for this thing. This body will be destroyed if you try to dress up this body, pamper this body, give this body all its comforts. There's a verse that says, the body embraces the living soul and then casts him aside. Just like some prostitute who promises great love and then for some fee, embrace and cast aside. So the body embraces a living being. That means we attach to this body at a false ego. I think I'll invest my energy and love in taking care of this body. And then it will kick you. So that's time. We see the young girl growing old. That's Krishna saying, just see. A young man, full of ambition, is growing old, becoming senile. Everything is lost. Time is teaching. Don't invest in these things. And everything is in constant upheaval. We were coming on a plane, waiting for the plane. There was television showing all the news items all over the world. Everything is upheaval. War. Death by this means. Death by that means. Death by this means. Death by that means. Everything is death. Counting deaths. And yet they're thinking, but not me. Everyone, they're dying from this continent to that continent, in this way and that way, but not me. I'm going to Boston on the plane. I have my business. I have my family. I'm all right. So you're also going to be vanquished. But if we take the Krishna consciousness, Krishna promises, whatever you do, it will save you from death. It will save you from rebirth again. And so try to be very enthusiastic and fill up all the Krishna consciousness in this life. When we go to preach to others to distribute Krishna consciousness, although they're very inimical, they don't like it, still, as we try to distribute Krishna consciousness, It is not only good for them, but it is very, very good for us. Krishna sees how we're detached and struggling to stay in this eternal consciousness and give it to others. And this is recognized. What we want is to always be able to serve Krishna. Then even when we live in this material body, it's called Jivan Mukta. He's already liberated. If you're not interested in sense gratification and just in serving Krishna, and you have spontaneous love for Krishna, then you don't even have to aspire to go to the spiritual world. You've already attained eternal devotional service to Krishna. Jivan Mukta. And then you have no anxiety about what may happen in this material world. So this is our only shelter. We should consider like that. Boktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suradid sarvabhutanam yachva mam shanti mrichate. Ketva mam shanti mrichate. These sages who are actually wise know that I, Lord Krishna, I am the ultimate benefactor of all the sacrifices that are performed anywhere. Anything that is done is actually meant for my enjoyment. Not only that, I am the Lord of all the planets. I am also the well-wishing friend of all the living entities. The sages who know this, they become free from the pangs of material misery. If we know Krishna, then we'll be peaceful in the midst of this upheaval, in the midst of this changing, destroying material element. So we should save ourselves. Yes? And it's easy. Just chant Hare Krishna. The sound vibration, that is eternal. And even the food stuff we take, although it seems that it goes through the material process, it's taken by the body, some is rejected as waste, some is going into the bloodstream, and then that is ultimately destroyed. No, no. There's a spiritual quality there that is eternal. There's a science. You have to learn that science. How to eat food that is eternal. And by eating that food, you become spiritualized. By seeing that form of the deity, by engaging in that welfare service, bhakti yoga, you get eternal benefit. So learn this science and do this science. That's our business as devotees. And inquire from the books and inquire from persons who are in knowledge of this science how you can not miss this and become a staunch devotee, happy devotee, above the modes of material nature. So for me, I've been coming to Boston since 1967. Some of these paintings are from that time. And I have changed. The paintings, materially speaking, growing older. But there's no feeling like that. Krishna is eternal, the spirit soul is eternal, and the Krishna consciousness rendered by the devotees in Boston is also eternal, ever fresh, ever expanding, Anandi Bhudavardhanam. Now the paintings are expanding, improving. The devotional service here was formerly a small effort, more and more established, eternal but increasing. And this is the spiritual world. So you stay and increase and become liberated. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes? Because you get karma from eating meat. This is scientific. It's called the law of action and reaction. Whatever, that's also a physical law. When you do something, take some action, there's always a certain reaction. So, eating meat means slaughtering the animals. And so by slaughtering the animals, either you directly slaughter as the butcher, or you eat what is you buy neatly packaged in the store. It's still slaughtering. And then, so there has to be a reaction. It's like in a state. If I commit some crime, then there's a reaction. I have to be punished. So this is what's wrong. It is sinful. And Krishna says not to do it. Well, it's simple science of action and reaction. One living being lives at the cost of another living being, jiva jiva sajivanam, in this material world. But there are certain foodstuffs that are prescribed for the different species of life. When the tiger kills an animal, that is his nature, and is not considered sinful. But a human being is a very elevated species of life. He's responsible for his actions. And those responsibilities are given in the scriptures. Thou shalt not kill. That doesn't apply to the tiger, but it applies to the human being. All right. But jiva jiva sajivanam. In order to live, I have to eat something. Everything is a living being. Then Krishna says, patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhakta prayachate. You can eat something. There is a certain quota that is yours. But your real business is to make sacrifice to God, to develop love of God. So I will allow you, you can take some foodstuffs from the categories of vegetables or fruits or grains or milk products and offer it to God. And then although we have to take some form of life to eat, we have to minimize the violence and offer it to Krishna. And then you become absolved from the karma. If Krishna said, offer me some meat, then we would take the meat. We want to offer our food to Krishna. That we want to please Krishna. This is how to become free from karma, transcendental. But he also says, what can be offered to him? The cow is a very, very valuable animal. And the other animals also, you cannot just kill whimsically just because you have to eat. But God says, what can be taken? We have to live by regulation. Just like your quota is that you may have a wife and you may be married and raise children. But it's not that you can have sex with your mother and sister and everyone. That is illicit. Not that sex is illicit. But it has to be in regulation. So not that eating is illicit, but we have to offer our food to Krishna and only offer those foods that he finds acceptable. So all the answers are there if we make reference to what God desires, what we should eat, what is approved, what is forbidden, what is pleasing to him. So therefore we need a spiritual master to tell us these things, how to be on the spiritual path. You had a question?
What's the mood for chanting? Some people have said that one should try to be crying because if Krishna is not present, so we're trying to be crying, asking for him.
Who said that? Never mind, but we shouldn't try to cry. Don't artificially do anything. Try to hear. That's how you chant. It's yoga. The name will work if we can attentively hear it. So you chant and hear. Then, when that is perfect, then there may be crying. Lord Chaitanya, when he chanted, he described, sometimes I cry, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I dance. And I'm thinking that I'm crazy. I'm feeling such ecstasy. What is this? So there are so many symptoms, but you cannot artificially induce them. Just chant and hear, and everything will come automatically. Yes?
You were saying that benefit derived from devotional service is not subject to the circuit all the time. And then you were saying that we should not be accessible to deposit money in the bank and then take that money out again.
Devotional service benefit? No. It can be checked. That's when we commit offenses that happens. Just like by regularly engaging in devotional service, the money is going in all the time. Sometimes in some companies, they automatically take money out of your paycheck. You never see it. It goes for some different benefits. Or you may enlist in some plan. So by regularly doing devotional service, it's going in the account. Just by going to Mangala Arati, by chanting Hare Krishna, doing your duties, your account is building day after day. But if I commit some offense and fall down and stop my service, no, that's not taken out, but I'm not enabled to do any more. My account just sits there. It can sit there for a long, long time. It'll never be taken out, but no more. I'm entitled to whatever went in. So offense means suspension or checking of the devotional service. And then, when I want to begin again, I can go on from there. But this is not to say that we should think, well, I've done some devotional service, so I can leave now. I've got some credit. No, because you may not even be able to draw on that credit, but you may fall down far, far away from contact with devotional service and practically forget it. Sometimes somebody opens an account in some city and then he leaves and he forgets he even has the money. He doesn't know where he has the money. I have an account somewhere, I can't even remember. So he just loses all contact with his wealth. Becomes crazy and forgetful. Sometime you may again recover, but for the time being it's not available to you. This happens by offenses. Not that it's taken away permanently. But the separation from that progress can be so long and so painful that we should never be smug or content about having done a little devotional service. But build it up, build it up. After all, we started from poverty-stricken condition, and we're just making some little accounts, little deposits. Just see the love of God in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani. what opulence of devotion. We're just making little tiny deposits. So therefore devotional service should be performed with regularity and steadfastness. And if you get an opportunity to increase your deposit, then do so. And he says, here's an opportunity, now you can start putting more in. Oh no, I don't think I want to. I'm already doing something. Don't ask me to increase. Because we don't know that the increase is good for us. Okay, thank you very much.